Amen.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours. It will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure.
The heavens, no man, no weapon formed against, yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtaposition in us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died, his spirit is revisiting us. True and living, living in us. Resistance is us. That's why Rosa sat on the bus. That's why we walk through Ferguson with our hands up. When it go down, we woman and man up. They say stay down, and we stand up. Shots we on the ground, the camera panned up. King pointed to the mountaintop, and we ran up.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours. It will be ours. Oh, Lord. Oh,
glory, glory.
Now the war is not over. Victory isn't won. But we'll fight on to the finish. And then when it's all done, we'll cry glory. Oh, glory. Oh,
Selma is now. For every man, woman, and child. Even Jesus got his crown in front of a crowd. They march with the torch, we gon' run with it now. Never look back, we done gone hundreds of miles. From dark roads, heroes, to become a hero. Facing the League of Justice, his power was the people. Enemy is lethal, a king became regal. Saw the face of Jim Crow under a bald ego. No one can win the war individually.
Except
the wisdom of the elders and young people's energy. Welcome to the story we call victory, the coming of the Lord. My eyes have seen the glory.
One day, when the glory comes,
yeah.
It will be ours. It will be ours. Oh, glory. Oh,
glory. Glory, glory. What is your community doing to commemorate Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.? A small community in Yakima, Washington is preparing a weeks-long agenda of celebration from January 9th to January the 16th. So join us as this Yakima community comes together and talks about, together, we can make it happen. You too can establish events in your area and let us know what you are doing. I am your hostess, Miss Inez, CEO and fashion designer of Anais Saku Design. And you can listen or join in, too, by calling 845-241-9985. Again, that number is 845-241-9985 this evening, Thursday, January 12th, 2023, on Keeping It Real with Sergeant Park's 38th Annual Martin Luther King Jr. Celebration. Together, we can make it happen. A voice on the radio you haven't heard in quite a while, who has his own show, Keeping It Real. I miss his voice and his intelligence, wit, and especially his guests he brings when he does his show. The Honorable Sergeant James Parks of Keeping It Real. With Sergeant Parks and his dynamic guest, let's give him a hand clap. Amen, amen, amen. Welcome, 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 and please greet us, and Happy New Year to each and every one of you to whom I have not yet well with this year. Go ahead, Sergeant Park.
Well, I don't know who you were talking about, girl. I don't deserve all that, you know, but I'll take it, you know.
Okay.
Hey, mercy me. Oh, mercy me. Hey, welcome everybody. Hey, I am so glad to be back with you, Miss Inez, and you guys. And I don't know why y'all keep inviting me back, you know. Well, it's been 7 months, I know. But this is a celebration of our 38th annual MLK celebration here in Yakima. And I know that everybody mm-hmm. along the line is doing some kind of celebration. But we have a tremendous show today. I have called on, like the preacher say, mm-hmm. the Lord. I have called on some of the people that I know. I don't know about what everybody else is doing on this, but I know about what these people are doing. You know,
okay.
I think that, in fact, I know that they're doing exactly what Dr. King was talking about, to bring people together and stuff in these times of needs and stuff. So do
all
you
right.
want me to announce them now, or do you want me to announce them later?
Go ahead and announce them now, and then they can go. And, you know, I know that if he is on the line, Mr. Anthony Peterson probably want to go first. But you want to go ahead and announce all your guests. And I'm each and every one of you going to get an applause. So just hold, you know, before you go too far into the next person, I want to give them an applause. So go ahead.
Okay, General. Help General. Okay. My first panelist and guest speaker, he was invited to go to Central Washington University and do the keynote speak for the university. And it's just, this guy is really, really, really phenomenal, okay? His name is Anthony Peterson. He's the CEO of OIC of Washington, and that's part of the OIC of America plan. And Mr. Peterson, he currently serves as a CEO. In fact, I think he just got that designation and stuff this year, you know, but he's been there quite a while and stuff. He brings his early experience and exposure of poverty, racism, failure, violence, and recklessness with his growing success and faith, love and accountability to OIC's leadership. And since he's been here, and believe me, he's following in some giant footsteps, you know, Mr. Henry Bergkamp. So, and he's the kind of person and stuff that listens. And we see a lot of positive things is happening around there, like we're doing specifically something that should have happened 15, 20 years ago. He's building a community and stuff by doing OIC recreation and sports program, and it is phenomenal. And he is so dynamic, I don't have time. We don't have time to sit here. So I'm gonna let Mr. Peterson go ahead on and say a few words to everybody and stuff so he can get up. And this guy, he actually has a degree from Gonzaga University. He might have played basketball, but I don't think so, though. And he has a bachelor's of arts degree from Central Washington University. And he is well known for getting things done. And he's a great grant writer. For anybody listening, this guy can write. He wrote so many grants for millions of dollars. I look at it and say, oh, my God. But now I give you Mr. Anthony Peterson, CEO of OIC, and then we'll continue after he's done because he has to get off the line and go drive 45 miles. Is that it, Anthony? 45 miles up to CWU. Mr. Anthony Peterson.
All right. In your hand.
Thank you so much for that warm welcome and introduction, Ms. Sergeant Park. Excuse me, I was going to call you Mr. Park. And then, Ms. Inez, thank you for having me on here today. I just want to welcome everybody to this this grandiose show and share a little bit about what we're doing. I know Mr. Park shared that we're celebrating our 30th annual MLK celebration march and program. But leading up to that date of January 16th, we do a whole host of events. We have a food drive that's going on, and that food drive is a competition between school districts here in our local area. It's called the Lee Padgett Food Drive, and this has been going on for many, many years. And then that led into a watch party that we had at our Henry Beauchamp Community Center. We all got together and watched Selma. And then we had a great discussion about where we go from here. You know, as Martin Luther King has profoundly, you know, set the stage for us, but as we all know, the work is not finished. So we had a great conversation regarding that. And then tomorrow we kick off our MLK basketball tournament that Mr. Parks is actually co-chairing and running that. So salute, Sergeant Parks. We have, I think, maybe 50 to 100 kids participating in that, and that is going to be phenomenal. And we also have a phenomenal church service coming up on Sunday, and that'll be at the Greater Faith Baptist Church, and we're inviting one of the pillars in the community, Sister Dr. Kathleen Ross, who was the founder of one of the local community colleges, Heritage University. And on Monday, on actual Martin Luther King Day, we have our march, and we're so excited because COVID really has prevented us from actually doing a march in person. So for the last several years, we've done a Zoom activity, you know, because we know we have to keep the momentum going, but we're really excited to get together, convene, and move forward. So we got the march going from 5th and MLK all the way down to the convention center. We're going to have a bunch of youth speakers. Our keynote speaker is Ms. Erin Black, who is part of the Rotary group. She's also on the Board of Trustees for Central Washington University. She's a phenomenal ally in the community. And then we have a soup kitchen going on after that. So, I mean, we're so excited. And also, these events are culminations of the work that we're doing throughout the year. I want to make that clear. We got a lot of stuff going on where we're mobilizing communities of color, especially our black community, centered around relationship building, economic development, and leadership training, because we know that those are the sustainable activities that will help grow these celebrations. So we're really excited. With that, I'm going to turn it over back to Sergeant Parks.
Hey, you know, this guy, he's not as young as he looks, okay? But I'm going to tell you, oh, he's a good golfer, too. He's a decent golfer. I'm going to tell you, things are happening. You know, and every time he gets to put his mind to something, he brings people with him. You know, most of the people on this line know him personally, you know, and he just go about doing good things. And he's also a father, too. He's just tremendous. So, hey, thank you, Mr. Peterson. We really appreciate that, okay? And, we want you to drive safe going up that canyon, man, going the mountains. You know.
Yeah.
Oh,
all right,
thank
we
you,
love you.
We already made it here. We made it here.
Oh, you already there? Thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you, because I was just thinking, man, he was in this kind of weather. I mean, wow. So thank you. We really appreciate you, and we love you.
Love you, too. Hey, y'all have a good rest of the show. Thank you. God bless.
Thank you so much, Anthony. Have a good one.
Okay, so, Ms. Inez, if I would be allowed to continue.
Yes.
Okay, my next guest, she is really, really, really a wonderful person. If we would read some of her books, and I'm just going to cite one of her phenomenal books that she has written, and that's my Bible. It's a Bible because it's called Unity, Teaching Unity to Kids Ages 8 and 12. The way she brings people together, and she goes to different schools and different school districts, and she gets with teachers and parents and stuff. She is teaching unity. She's been doing that for as long as I've known her, over 20 years. She is such a hardcore. And then her history of being, maybe she'll tell you, but she got chased out of some place in South America or somewhere and stuff by some gangs. I said, what? When I heard that, I said, no, man. But she is such a dynamic person. You know, she deals with her heart. I mean, I can't say enough about her. So I'm going to let her tell you guys who she is. But she is just phenomenal. She's a doctor, okay? She's an adjunct professor. She's been a teacher. Girl, I guess in the high stakes you had to be doing some preaching too, right, Randy? But anyway, I'm going to introduce you guys to Randy. So, Randy, go ahead on and fill us in on what you're doing.
Okay, hold on. You know, you got to get a hand clap, too. Everybody does deserve one.
Right.
Well, first of all, thank you to Mr. Parks for those kind words. I would have to say that you have been an inspiration for me. And to say that... I don't know how you could say we've known each other for 20 years when I'm only like 19 years old. But and Miss Inez, thank you so much for hosting this wonderful program.
You are welcome.
Not a problem. Thank you. So you can stop me anytime. So James had asked me to share a little bit about Unity Works, which is a nonprofit here in Yakima that I started about 9 years ago. And it's an educational organization committed to a belief in the oneness of humanity and the value of diversity and the need for unity. And so our specific mission is to promote cross-racial and cross-cultural understanding, equity, and inclusion, and our primary focus is on K-12 schools. So as Mr. Park said, we work mostly with teachers and principals, offering training, we offer resources, ongoing support, and our goal is to encourage a grassroots approach that empowers each school to create its own blueprint for change. So we don't go in and say, oh, all these terrible things are happening in your school, and we're going to tell you what to do about it, and here's a curriculum that you have to follow, and we're going to come and check back up on you and see if you've got it right, and we'll evaluate you. And no, here's some tools, here's some resources. How can we support you? And you come up with your plan. And, you know, here's ideas that other people are trying that have worked, and you're free to use those as well. So we have, can I talk a little bit about the need and then what our school program is, or should I just jump directly to the program? I don't know how much time we have.
Well, we're going to, people along the line are going to be probably calling in and asking specific questions, but you can fill us in as much as, you know, you need to and stuff. You know, I think that you're just doing so much. I want you on so that you can talk about it, because people along the line, we're looking for answers as to what's going on. You know, how can we make this work, you know?
Exactly.
Government has us pulled to the left and to the right, so go ahead on.
Okay. I would like to say that, as you all know, our entire country is struggling with issues of racial injustice. And I've the problems, I feel that issues of prejudice and racism are the most vital and challenging issues that are facing not just our country, but all of humanity today. And many children already hold negative stereotypes of people from other racial groups by the time they get into kindergarten. So, and our classrooms tend to reflect society's prejudices, I think, as everybody on this call would know. The textbooks are biased, the lessons are kind of one-sided, Eurocentric, discriminatory discipline, the school-to-prison pipeline, bullying, low expectations for students of color. And 80% of our nation's teachers are white. And over half of the students in our nation's schools are students of color, and that number is growing. So my goal, my hope, is to provide training, tools, and support to educators of all colors in order to address some of these equity and diversity issues in our schools. And specifically, working with teachers has a multiplier effect, because one teacher can reach thousands of students over the course of their career, and then those students in turn are forming the values that will shape our communities and our world for generations to come. So our school program begins with a week-long in-person action-packed summer training institute, 40 hours, so it's a big commitment. And then on the final day, the teams from each school put together an equity action plan for the next school year, and UnityWorks then provides the resources, the ongoing support that they need. And in the spring, at least pre-COVID, we host an annual spring conference, which gives the teams themselves an opportunity to network, share best practices, and make any collaborative plans for the following year. So that training institute, the topics include race and racism, culture, gender, language, prejudice, stereotyping, the concept of colorblindness, school discipline, and all kinds of things related to that. And the key component of all of our UnityWorks trainings is helping teachers to recognize that we are one human family under one creator, and it's time for us to start treating each other that way. So Mr. Parks mentioned, but our school program has been on hold since the pandemic. We hope to start up again this year in the summer months. But in the meantime, we've taken everything to online training. And if anyone's interested, they're welcome to take a look at our website. It is unityworks.org, and it lists all our various trainings that are coming up. And we also have all kinds of diversity resources. Again, you can look on our website to support those teachers' efforts. And it includes a free download for teachers, two-page download for teachers and parents on overcoming prejudice. And Sergeant Parks asked me to mention one of my books, Teaching Unity, that has hundreds of hands-on activities for use with kids from ages 8 to 12, so upper elementary level, with all kinds of reading, stories, puzzles, songs, craft projects, outdoor games, and plans for organizing a week-long unity camp, which you can do in your own town, and lots more. So if you're interested in that, teachingunity.com is on the web. And then I think I wanted to share, do I have like another 1 minute or so? I'll just keep going?
Yeah. You got my okay. Throat.
I could keep going for hours. I'm excited about this effort. I know there are other people on the panel as well.
All right. Okay,
I wanted to share.
Don't get pushy.
Pardon me?
I said don't get pushy.
Well, I'll share one highlight. We have all kinds of amazing programs that the schools are doing. I'll share my favorite. And this was an elementary school in town. And their UnityWorks team was very worried about a sharp increase in racial bullying and name-calling. This was after a recent national election. And they weren't sure what to do. And they were at the training in the summer, and they just were describing some pretty awful things from the previous year. And they didn't know how to respond, and everyone was upset. And then on the first day of school, the principal said she was standing on the playground, and she heard two girls talking. One of them said to the other, my parents won't let me play with you anymore because you are the color of poop. And I know. And they decided right then and there, their Unity Works team said, we have to teach the children about skin color. And they used some of the activities and lessons in our Teaching Unity book. And for the final project, they had over 50 staff and over 700 students painted their self-portraits. And leading up to that, they learned, how do we get our skin color? And why do we need melanin and how it protects us from the sun? And so forth. And so the kids learned that at a kid level. And then their final project was everyone in the school, all the teachers, all the students, including, you know, the lunch lady and the office desk person, everyone painted their self-portraits using accurate skin colors. And then those were displayed throughout the school, all the hallways in the school. And as a direct result, the incidence of racial bias went from double digits to zero overnight and stayed there. And why? Because every single kid knew why there were different skin colors. And it wasn't a bad thing. It was just where our ancestors came from and how strong the sun was and how much protection we needed. And every single kid was recognized. Every skin color was good. Every face was posted up on the wall. And some of the kids got so excited, they're like, Mom, Dad, come and see. Here's my picture, and here's all my friends and my teachers. And friends, all it cost was $100 for multicultural paint. And so something that simple, any school can do that. So it's probably good to leave it there. And if we have more time later, I can talk about what it's like to be a white person doing this work. You know, do white people have any place in this work, and who do they think they are? I hear that a lot. And any thoughts or questions, and why it's important to me, how I got into this line of work. But I thank you so much for the time, and I'm eagerly looking forward to meeting our other panelists. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Randy. There you go, Miss Inez. She's always seeing what's going on. I love Inez because she's a visionary, you know. So, my next panel is going to be a very dear friend of mine. All the panelists are very, very dear to me, you know, and I call them all my friends. We're lucky to be able to have people that you can actually call friends, people that you can actually call on when you're having a situation. You know, I think that was one of Dr. King's dreams, is to bring people together. You know, we don't all have to be on, be thinking alike, but we all have to sit and we have to get along. Now, this next guy here, when he first got to town, I was saying, I don't think he's going to fit in this town, okay? He didn't exactly come to this town like he was a sheriff, you know. He didn't come to this town, you know, gangbusters and stuff. He just quietly got into this town. And then once I started seeing him, I started talking to him and then actually see what he was doing to make a difference. The next guest and friend is Chief Matthew Murray. He's the chief of police for the Yakima Police Department. Chief, you have changed police. Chief, you have changed police to bridge policing and community. Before you, I never seen a chief of police drive through my community. I had people from the police department telling me that I should move out of my community. Hey, me and my wife already bought this house, so I'm not moving. Okay. But I see you come through here every day, about 8:30 sometime, and you're looking, and you're riding. And you don't ride up the roads. You ride through the alleyways. I ain't never seen no chief of police in Yakima do that. Not only you do that, you know how to talk to people. The whole Yakima Police Department has a change of attitude. When George Floyd got killed, we came to you and we asked you because we had some things on our mind. The chokeholds and all of that kind of thing that was going on. And we threw 10 or 15 different things on there. It was a nationwide thing. You know, is the police going to do this and is the police going to do that? And you listened. And you decide to make some changes and stuff because you thought that they were the right things to do. A lot of people didn't think that you should have been making no kind of changes and stuff. But the changes that you made has been right spot on. So I give you Chief Matt Murray. I call him Matt. Everybody's calling him Matthew. To the police.
Well, thank you. Can you all hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. Then I will not waste your time. So I was blessed to be the deputy chief in the Denver Police Department under R.C. White. I worked in Denver for about 29 years. And Chief White was deputy chief in Washington, D.C., went on to be the chief in Greensboro, in Louisville, and then later in Denver. And so I was very lucky to have his mentorship and really get his views on race and policing and how important the role we play is. And let me just start by saying this to the folks on the call and to everyone across the country. Mm-hmm. Policing did not get to the place we are by accident. You know, it was us. We got us there. And the actions of many police officers got us in a position where communities no longer trusted us. And so that means the burden is on us to repair that relationship. And I take that very seriously, and I think it's really important. And I think there's a crop of police chiefs across the country who feel the same way and are working really hard to do that. To me, the best way to do that is to have a relationship. And in order to have any kind of relationship with a significant other or an employee or a business, you have to have contact. And so that means I have to be out every single day. I can't sit behind a desk and have meetings and have contact. So I go in one of our challenged neighborhoods every single morning, and I greet every single person I see, and from the guy who's digging through the trash can to a homeowner who might be working in their garden. And I think that's really important. And I do it in a non-enforcement way, and it's just a greeting. And along the way, I ran into James, and we've been working on some community issues. And I think the other thing that's really important is the police do have a job, and it's a really important job. And many of the folks that are impacted most by violent crime and high crime are minorities in challenged neighborhoods. And so I think we also have an obligation to stay engaged and to come up with creative ways to improve the lives and situations. I mean, just because somebody wants the police to be accountable doesn't mean they don't want them to do their job. So the two things I'll tell you that I'm very happy about is Yakima has long been known as a very high crime city. We have a significant gang problem, but we've had an enormous decrease. While the rest of the country is seeing a spike in crime, we're seeing a very big decrease in crime, and specifically in violent crime. But what I'm most proud about is when I first got here, I changed our mission statement because I wanted it to be something very simple that anybody could understand. And it's two sentences. The Yakima Police Department will work with the community to reduce violent crime through exceptional customer service. And I expect that. And it's on every police car now that we deliver exceptional customer service. And really what that boils down to is respect. And the person you're putting in handcuffs in the back of the car is a customer. And they better be treated with respect. And so we actually have an 86% decrease in complaints to internal affairs. So I think what's important about all this is that you can reduce crime and treat people with respect. Both of those things can happen and I think we owe it to the community.
Wow. Hey, thank you, Chief. I am really, you know, I'm from Georgia, guys. I'm from Atlanta. And we're not used to being next to or close by police officers. You know, I still feel the need when the police get behind me, even though I know I ain't did nothing. You know, and police get behind me and I have those things. Well, you going to pull me over? You going to do this? You know, well, I'm getting rid of those kind of notions. They might not never go away because if I'm driving somewhere with my wife and I'm in, you know, whatever state and we're traveling all the time and stuff, I do have that once I see it, police. But, Chief Murray, you have changed my attitude, you know, toward police officers. So thank you for that. And this city is indebted to you. I don't know what's going to happen if you decide to leave. I hope you, if you're going to retire, you're going to stay here a while. So I really appreciate it.
So I will just say Yakima is my home. And Inez, I will also tell you, I will answer any question. I don't care how hard it is. So I'll stay on the line in case later somebody has some questions.
I'm telling you. Guys.
Okay. I just want to make sure that he's just
clear. Okay, so we're going to take a break now, or you want to keep going?
We can hear, what is that? I Have a Dream, I think is what it is. Is that what you want to hear? I Have a Dream?
Sounds good.
Oh, that Freedom Ring. Okay, we'll have this. I Have a Dream.
Even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal. That one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream.
That was it. He has a dream. Definitely has a dream.
Okay, so my next guest, he is really, really, really helping veterans and their families. He helped anybody, really, I'm telling you. I know this guy for years. We've been on the trail together trying to make sure that we can fight injustice wherever we find it. And not just black folks come to us looking for help, but everybody. My guest is Dr. Raymond Miller. He's a national certified veterans service officer. A lot of you guys don't know what that means, but for hundreds of thousands of people that done came through this guy's office is thankful for him being there. Because he's helping. He's past chairman of the National Coordinating Committee, the National Association of Black Veterans. Half of you guys have never heard that. A lot of black veterans that I talked to have never heard of that. It was an association designed so that black veterans coming home from wars and different places and stuff could actually go. Now, not only what Dr. Milliman did, Dr. Milliman went out in the street, sought these veterans and stuff, and got them the help that they need. A lot of you people ain't even heard of that. He has helped thousands of veterans go from homeless to either owning their own home. Help them secure long-term stable housing. So I give you my friend, Dr. Miller.
Happy New Year, Commissioner. Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year.
And Happy New Year and happy beginning of the Martin Luther King Day weekend and the Martin Luther King Day celebrations. I'm so glad you played that. I have a part of the I Have a Dream speech. To give y'all a little secret, I don't even think James, you know, and when I was 13 years old, I was in August 28, 1963. I was actually in Washington, D.C. at the March of Washington. And tomorrow was my birthday, and I'll be 73 years old. So did y'all know that was 60 years ago, almost. Mm-hmm. So thank you. And so and we've been working out and driving. We've been working actually, I didn't hear the speech when he gave it because I wasn't listening. I was looking at all those people in there. I'd never seen so many people in my life at that day. But as James said, we're here. Our goal, we've been working for the last 30 or 40 years, is making sure that veterans receive the benefits and services that they have needed, that they deserve by serving in the United States military. We're helping them make that sometimes difficult transition from military back to being alive. We also work on helping them with post-traumatic stress disorder that our veterans suffer from, and that we make sure that the Department of Veterans Affairs live up to their commitment and their mission providing services for veterans all across our country. Tonight, as we celebrate Dr. King's birthday coming up, I'm all reminded that those who have served our country in our greatest tonight, 200,000 veterans will be homeless tonight, sleeping in the streets or sleeping in their cars or sleeping in the park, but sleeping somewhere in a stable environment. So our goal has been always been living Dr. King's dream and making it a reality, not only for everyone. Because King was not just a civil rights activist, he was a human rights activist, and his goal was to make sure that everybody, regardless of being not judged by the content of their, not judged by the color of their skin, but the content of their character. And so that's one of the goals that we've been working on for all these years. And hopefully we can continue that for a little while longer. And we thank y'all, especially in Yakima. Y'all look like y'all have a great Martin Luther King weekend going on. In Seattle, we're going to have the 40th anniversary of the Dr. King celebration. We've been doing it for 40 years now up in Seattle, Washington, at Garfield High School. They got workshops, and there will be a march, and it's been going on for 40 years, and we had a little virtual things going on during the pandemic, as everybody have, but on January 16th, this coming Monday, everybody in Seattle, Washington, or wherever you want to come and join in. That's one of the longest continuing Martin Luther King celebrations in the country at Garfield High School in Seattle, Washington, 40th anniversary.
Amen.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. My next guest is, I know her quite well. She actually, she is a part of me, and that's my daughter. Her name is Laquita Parks. She's the owner of Pay Pro V Publishing. She's an author. She's a relationship coach, and she just she was awarded the 2022 Woman of the Year, and I'll let her tell you guys about that. She is absolutely fantastic. She didn't get any of this from me, guys. No, she didn't. And I'm just so proud that she's my daughter because I learned from her. She is into so many things. She finds time to mentor young people, to go out and actually in their environments. She also finds time to put some of them to work in her organization, teaching them the skills and the trades. And she's just on so many media broadcasts that I can't keep up with her no more. You know? Her publishing company and stuff is all about showing people how to tell their stories. You know, she could probably be making a whole lot of money trying to get some of these rich people out here to tell how they got rich, but she's working with people and stuff that she look and she talk to her then. They're telling her what their life was about so she get them to write her stories. I am one of those. I'm the product of one of those people, you know. Dad, when you need to write your story, you know. So I'm telling you what she did. And I'm gonna be brief. She made it on the veteran, and she come up with this scheme. I keep telling her, yeah, well, you got me to do that. Okay, now, and the scheme was to find veterans and stuff to let the veterans tell their story. Now, there are some people trying to publish books and stuff like that, you know, but we always see these high-class generals, and we see all of these other people that we already know served in the military, went on to make $100 million and stuff. But she got people from our walk of life, okay, veterans to tell their story. And she published a book. It's called Shooter for Service, okay? Stories by the Unsung Heroes of the Brotherhood. And I didn't want to make her think, oh, this is all fantastic, sweetheart, you know, that's good. So I just tried to be numb and stuff on it. Well, Dad, you need to tell your story. You need to write to us. So she finally got me to write what my experience was like and how I went into the military and stuff. And then she told me, now, Daddy, you're a publisher, you know. And then when she sent me the book, I see, wow, James Parks on this book. It's published. And I breeze through it and see all the comments, all of the veterans and stuff they put in there, and I was just so smiling. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to take up no more of her time, so I'm going to introduce you guys to my daughter, Miss Laquita Parks. Did anybody call her Mama or the Queen? Okay.
Okay.
Miss Laquita Parks.
Thank you so much, Dad. I appreciate you for inviting me to be a guest on your panel tonight and for giving me this opportunity. Before I, introduce myself, I will say when you introduce yourself, Sergeant James Parch, you need to include published author because you are a published author now. And I'm glad that I was able to make that happen, even though you didn't realize that mm-hmm. was a dream that you had. So with that being said, like my dad said, my name is Laquita Parks, and I am the CEO and founder of PayProV Publishing. And PayProV means pain, progress, victory, because I believe without pain there is no progress, and without progress there can be no victory. So I help people take their stories from a thought to a realization, and because I believe that 100% of everybody living and dead has a story, including me. And my story is I am a victim of medical childhood trauma at the hands of a nurse, and it happened at Grady Memorial Hospital in Atlanta, Georgia. This is new to me because I never said the name of the hospital that injured my leg. They did not protect me, so I will no longer protect them. And I wasn't protecting them, but I was more so protecting myself. So I am encouraging people, and I encourage everybody on this phone call to say my name. My name is Laquita Parks, and I am no longer standing in the way of what my destiny should be. So as we talk about Martin Luther King and what we're doing in our communities, I am excited about PayProV Publishing because there, and I know there are a lot of publishers in the world. There's just like McDonald's and Burger King is on every corner. There's almost a publisher on every corner, but they don't do what I do. They don't take the time to help people to really tell their stories that they want to tell their stories. So with PayProV Publishing, I have the opportunity to help people who might not otherwise get their stories told. Dad mentioned about the Veterans Project. I am not a veteran, but my dad is a veteran. And being able to help veterans tell their stories, giving them a voice and a platform, I do this project every year, and I will be doing this project again for Memorial Day. So if there are veterans on the phone, or if you know veterans who would want to submit their stories, there is no cost. And the proceeds from the sale of the book go to the VFW. So I'm looking for veterans who wish to tell their stories. I also, my passion is young people. I love working with young people. So, again, like my dad said, I like putting young people to work in their skill set because I think there is the chief of police is on the call. There are so many people, there are so many young people doing nothing. And I believe that we all have to do our part in helping them realize that they can do something. You know, we can't throw the baby out with the bathwater. There are people who won't work with teenagers because the semen has hardened. But if we don't work with them, who will? So with PayProV Publishing, and I am a published author, 8-time published author. I am also a coach. I coach and develop people in writing their story. I am a mentor. I also have a podcast show called My Heart on Pages where I interview authors to get the why behind their stories. I have a radio show called The Power of Your Story, and I also host the Book Slam on Clubhouse where I give authors an opportunity to feature and promote their stories. And then I do another show on Clubhouse called The Power of Your Story, as well as write for an international magazine called I Am Magazine. And so if you could not tell anything else, I am serious about stories, helping people take their stories from a thought to a realization. And it doesn't have to be a personal story because everybody doesn't have a tragic story. It doesn't have to be a story of trauma. It can be a happy story. It can be a business story. And I found that when people know your story, your business story, they connect with you better. You sell more products, and people trust you. So thank you so much for giving me this opportunity to be on this platform. I love, absolutely love what I do. If somebody asks me what I want to do, what do I want to be when I grow up, I'm doing what I want to do. I am being who I want to be when I grow up. So I'm excited. And if you know any of those rich people Dad was talking about who want to tell their story and who would like to invest in PayProV Publishing, we are open to receive donations, investments to keep this going because if our prices are low, then we're able to help make a difference in the lives of other people as well as help people tell their stories so that they can make passive income from their stories. So that's my story, guys, and I'm sticking to it.
I'm telling you, that's tough to try and follow. But I love you, dear, so keep doing what you're doing. And when you get enough money and stuff, I don't want no Lamborghini. I just want an old raggedy Jeep.
Hey, you got it.
Okay. Okay, so thank you for that. My next guest, I think I've been knowing her about 10 years, maybe, off and on, when she really came to town. She was already making waves, and she was getting on different boards. She was on the YWCA board, doing great things and stuff. And she just keep excelling in this town. When I got ready to step down from the NAACP, and because I wanted to stay close to home for personal reasons, I sought her out to see if she would try and get elected to the NAACP because she knows everybody, you know, and she works well with everybody. She knows how to get her point across, and she also knows how to be very firm on what she do. That's Ms. Rachel Crosby. She is the president of the Yakima County NAACP. She also managed the local 99.3 FM radio station. She's also an assistant digital manager, a managing editor of Town Square Media. And she's a mother. And she is all over this town. She sit down with everybody. Of course, that's what the NAACP president is supposed to be, connected with everybody. And Risha, she is. I am so proud of her. I am so proud of what she's accomplished. I was the president for about 20 years, and I was lucky if I could raise $6,000-$7,000 and stuff during the whole year and try to keep the 50 members that the NAACP requires, stuff that you keep to even have a branch. You know, she comes in with all her influence, and the NAACP is solid. It's solid. She's doing all kind of capacity work. She's networking, working with every group in this county. Every group in this county. Not only does she work with them, she has them to actually get a membership. Of course, membership is the lifeline of the NAACP. She's doing it well. So when I need something, I go call her, Risa, do you guys want to help support these kids and stuff? Because I'm always working with kids. That's my passion, you know. And she steps forward and stuff. So without further ado, I give you the president of Yakima County NAACP, Umla, Ms. Rachel Crosby.
All right, now. And clap when it comes. Okay. It doesn't want to act right. You know how that goes. Ms. Risha? Ms. Risha? You need to unmute yourself?
Well, I guess she might have to leave.
No, she's still here.
And she might have told me that she would have to leave, so we'll go on with our next guest, and if she comes on, then I'll reintroduce everybody to her.
Okay.
My next guest is Pastor Willie F. Pride. He's in charge of, and he does run, Willie F. Pride Ministries. He's also an author, and he is my personal spiritual advisor. anytime I have a problem, I talk to him. You know, and a man of my character, for my first 50 years, I didn't want to hear about nobody. I didn't want to hear from nobody. I just, you know, make my way, listen to what's going on, try and do what's right. But talking to Pastor Pride and stuff, he listens and, you know, he comes up with, well, what do you think should happen? You know, he's not the kind that's going to tell you, well, you got to do this and then you got to do that and then you got to do that. He listens, you know. He's well respected in this community and in other communities. And he has this ministry where wherever he is, that's what his ministry is. He gets out in the street, you know, preachers don't get out in the street no more to go preach in the street. This preacher does. This pastor does. He makes the home visit. He makes different visits and stuff. If somebody just has a problem and stuff, then he's right there. So without further ado, I give you Pastor Pride.
Yeah.
Amen. That's my house clapping, so that's enough for me.
Okay, here we go.
I want to first thank each of you all and say Happy New Year again, and also to our chief. I made a little note, and I don't know if he's gone or not, but I made a little note as a way of just commending. Chief, are you still with us?
Yeah, I am here. Sir, yes, can you hear me?
I am here, Pastor.
Yeah, yeah. We're here.
Oh, wonderful. I apologize. I interrupted someone that was speaking just now.
That's okay. We'll let Pastor go, and then we'll get to bring on the finale.
Go ahead. Let our president go.
Okay, go ahead, President.
Thank you. I was like, hello. Nobody can hear me. Okay. Welcome, and thank you so much, Staff Sergeant Parks. Thank you to Inez. Thank you to everyone on this call.
Maybe.
I'm very honored to be here today. Are you able to still hear me?
Yes,
you
can.
Yes, I hear you.
Yes,
okay, great. I'll keep going. And so as the Yakima County NAACP branch president, we're very proud of our legacy here, established in Yakima in 1944. So this year we are 78 years old. And today I was listening to parts of Dr. King's speech, and one part that really stood out to me was when he said that it is obvious today that America has defaulted on this promissory note insofar as her citizens of color are concerned. Instead of honoring this sacred obligation, America has given the Negro people a bad check, and the too long didn't read version is, the check came back marked insufficient funds. And so ever since then, August 28th, 1963, which is 11 years and one day to the day that I was born, we have been struggling to achieve Dr. King's dream. And here in the Yakima Valley, I'm honored to be a part of that legacy of people that marched at the March on Washington. And I want to give honor to our elders who have since passed, A. Philip Randolph and Bayard Rustin. They organized the March on Washington that brought Dr. King and countless other civil rights organizations, religious groups, and labor organizations, because that march was called the March of Jobs and Freedom. And a lot of times that part of the message gets taken out of the story, and it's always about a couple of sentences that he says, that I have a dream that one day our children, and so on and so forth. But the mission of the NAACP and the reason why our organization joined that march was to secure political, educational, social, and economic equality of rights, particularly for African Americans, but also for every person of color in this country. And we want to eliminate race-based discrimination, whether it's financial, whether it's educational, whether it's in criminal justice. And so the past couple of years, the National NAACP has been working hard to achieve voter rights reform and policing reform. And I am so proud of Chief Murray for coming to Yakima and actually making a difference. And as far as what we're doing this week, the branch is participating, volunteering at the soup kitchen, which is going to be on Monday, January the 16th, right after the Peace March. The Peace March begins in Toppenish at 10 a.m. The Peace March begins at noon in Yakima, followed by a program at the Yakima Convention Center. And then we invite everyone to stop by the soup kitchen because we will be ready to give you some soup and fellowship. And going back to one of our earlier guests, I think it's Dr. Randy, the author, was speaking about the children and the skin tones. And so I just wanted to say I have an 11-year-old daughter, and I love that she's growing up in a time where she can tell me, Mom, there's this new cartoon. It's on Netflix, and there's this character named so-and-so, and she looks just like me. And just to hear her saying that somebody on the cartoons or the TV looks like her and that she's able to do that, it makes my heart swell with happiness. And now we've got Band-Aids of color and different skin tones. I can't find them here in Yakima, so I might have to talk to Walgreens. But we also have crayons of different skin tones. And so when we go to the pediatrician's office, and they have the kids coloring sheets and doing self-portraits, they have crayons with different skin tones on them. That's how far we've come to recognize that people of color have rights just like any other person. We have so much far to go. And I'll just wrap it up by saying that I encourage everyone listening to please join your local NAACP. Just go to NAACP.org/join. There's a little button there you click on that says join, and look for Yakima Branch 1140B, and please join us. Please become a member, and also please join us at the soup kitchen. And thank you, Mr. Parks.
You're welcome. Wow. Thank you, Rosha. I really
thank you.
I really like your support. Hey, I want to thank everybody. And I'm going to try and wind this thing down before Miss Inez kicked me off this air, which she normally will once
fine.
I get too much winded.
No.
Say, oh, you have to be good. That's it. I want to say, you know, that when Anthony Peterson came on, the CEO of OIC, he was real modest and stuff, you know. He has charged me with building a program for kindergarten through eighth grade, okay, to try to stimulate what is taking place in two distressed areas. Number one, that's Risha's whole domain that she's charged of, okay, the whole valley, actually. And that is to not, you know, we're using the wherewithal of sports to entice kids and stuff to come and then be around us so that we can put protective factors around them and give them confidence and stuff so that they will be able to sustain. And OIC's whole mission is to try to look for parents, okay, and families and stuff that are distressed and find out how they can help them with different resources, training and stuff or whatever. You know, so I am real, real, real happy about the fact that I get a chance to be in a situation like that. And I want to thank him and OIC, and I want to thank the city of Yakima and everybody else, and everybody that's on the line, because you know me. I'm going to come and I'm going to ask you and stuff whether you can help in this situation and stuff, and I really appreciate it. People along the line, the purpose of stuff that we had this panel discussion on the 38th anniversary of Dr. Martin Luther King's birthday is so that maybe you heard something. You know, maybe you heard something that you want to start in your own community. The problem now is that everybody is feeling that you can't do nothing without the police. You can't do nothing without the government. You can't do nothing without this or without that. What about us? We're resources. If you get together with two people in your community and stuff to try and do anything productive and stuff for your community, my hat's off to you. And with that, I'm going to say I love everybody. Miss Inez, it's your show. And I love you, too. Thank you.
We still got to hear from Pastor Fry.
Thank you.
Oh, I'm sorry. Let me back up. I stepped on my tongue. This is the main meeting, ladies and gentlemen. I give you Pastor Fry.
God bless you. I appreciate time. Again, I wanted to say and commend our chief. Here about 2 years ago, a committee it was started in the neighborhood, and it was dealing with policing and having an advocate from the community to be involved when there was a police shooting. Where a police shooting situation was involved, and I was on that committee, and have gone out at least four times, and I wanted to say that's a good thing. That's number one. Thank you, Chief, for making that available to the community. Just a word, which is Isaiah 61:1, and just a verse said, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord had anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He had sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are in bound." And I wanted to mention that I have a letter here that I got. In 1985, here in Washington State, myself and 100 other persons from around the state was asked to come to the capital there in Olympia and to start working on establishing the first Dr. King birthday in the state of Washington. And this was in January 1986. And at that time, Governor Booth Garner, he was the one that was the governor at that time. And it was 100 of us, and I was a part of that. And from every city in Washington, there was a representative. And so I wanted to just mention that from that day to this one, we are still carrying on the banner for that. Another thing that I wanted to mention, and that is that yesterday during our Bible study, one of the grandmothers was sharing with me that her granddaughter had gotten into somewhat of a fight or whatever there at one of our local high schools. And the granddaughter was there, and she showed me a video where this kid had came into the lunchroom. She's 14 years old, and he started punching her in the head and gave her a black eye. Now, she showed me the video. She showed us at our Bible study the video. I couldn't call Brother Parks because this was late last night. I couldn't call our NAACP president, which I knew that I could have. But this morning I went to the school, Brother Park, and I was there at 9 o'clock, and I met with the principal. And I said, I want to sit with you, and I want to share this with you. And he acknowledged that I had something to say. And I shared with him that the situation of this young man beating up this girl in the lunchroom yesterday was not acceptable in this county for anyone, regardless. But my point of it is that I feel that when we see injustice, or we hear about injustice that's going on the planet, and we can do something, or we can step up, and we have a voice, we need to use that. And so I was able to share with the principal there, and I might as well say it was at Ike, and I was able to share with him and say that I want to be a part of what's going to take place with this situation
that could very much bloom into something that could really be ugly again at the Ike High School. So I say that again. If you see an injustice, let's step up. Let's do something about it. And this program that Brother Park that we are part of tonight is a good step in the right direction. Want to mention also that tomorrow at Lewis and Clark, I'm going to be their guest at their assembly at 1 o'clock here in Yakima, where I will be sharing, and not only just sharing my testimony, but sharing Dr. King's address or message, I Have a Dream, with the assembly there at Lewis and Clark. So if anyone is in that area, 1 o'clock tomorrow at Lewis and Clark, that'll be the assembly. I'll be there to share that. And I find that this is just another opportunity that each of us can play. There's something we can do, and I've heard that mentioned different ones tonight. There's something that each one of us can do. All of us are not the hand, all of us are not the feet, but we're all part of the body. And so in saying that, thank you for this opportunity to share. Let us not forget on the radio, giving the message at 6 o'clock, please turn us on. And again, thank you all thank you, Brother Clark, for putting this together. And thank you for this is program. Oh, you know, I want to thank you for that. And God bless you.
Amen. Thank you. And Pastor Pride will be speaking on the fifth Sunday on Let's Do It Radio, so you all can tune in to on the fifth Sunday at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. He will be speaking that evening. Go ahead, Sergeant Park.
Well, it has been a tremendous evening, and I personally want to thank everybody. Ms. Inez, you are the water bearer. I've seen you keep this radio station going. A lot of people don't understand, you know, the efforts that it takes to try and just get the word out. Radio station is all about reaching people. You know, the religious part is so amazing, and it's real heartfelt. It's not like when you go to one of these churches for the first time that you're going to feel about how you're going to be accepted in a church. You know, if you come to a visit our religious ceremony, you will be very welcome. You know, just hearing, I've got more gospel than I got in 73 years. Lord knows, I need that. Even though I don't come on Sister Inez and just say, hey, man, or whatever, you know, you're doing it. You know, the way that you talk about relationships, one of the worst things that's happening to us across the board here in these great United States is that we don't understand how to get good relationships going, you know, and we're all got our panties in a twist, you know, and I think that your show relates to how you get a good relationship going, whether it's with a man and a woman or whatever the situation, or just relationships, period. And we're divided. We're so divided that it's not even funny as to how we're divided, and we don't even take time to just look at what is our creative ability and stuff to ought to be able to address our own issues. And a lot of people just seem to think, oh, the government going to take care of this and the government going to take care of that. Well, the government seems to be taking care of other nations and other problems and stuff besides us. So we have to do that. And I think that this content on Let's Do It Radio is a good content. You know, but it's going to take some sustaining and stuff. So we need contributions from good, decent people and stuff, you know, to be able to keep us on the air. If you got a situation that you want to talk about, then get in contact with Sister Inez and then talk about it and stuff. But that's the way we can do it. Like right now, we're probably talking to 12, 13, 14 different states. Believe it or not, just Yakima is not the only people on this line, believe it or not. You know, everybody ain't speaking, but guess what? People are calling in and they're listening because the content is correct. You know, it's a heartfelt thing that's going on. The sister, Sharon, she had the right feeling for when she was trying to do that. You know, God took her away from us, you know, at a time. But he going to do what? God is not going to put anything on your chest that you can't handle. You know, so please keep contributing to this content. And with that, I'm going to turn it back to Sister Inez. Sister Inez, you are one. So, we don't call you Sister Superwoman Inez.
No.
We really appreciate you. We really love you. And I will be back. I'll be back in my regular spot starting next month.
Okay.
Once I get out of, I'm around all the alligators. But we love you, so thank you so much.
Thank you. And we also have Reverend Carolyn Williamson on the line. She's from the Yakima area also. You want to say anything, Reverend Carolyn?
No, ma'am. Praise the Lord. Just listening.
All right. Thank you so much. Just want to let you know that. She's out there listening. She's in the background a lot, and she'll be driving around, but she'll say, I'm listening. So I just appreciate her listening. And I want to play, what is it I want to play? I want to play Let Freedom Ring speech before I go into the announcements. Before I go into the announcements, does anybody else have anything they'd like to say? We still have Dr. Randy with us. Chief Matthew Murray with us, and Mr. Randy Miller with us, Pastor Pride, and Sergeant Parks. If anybody wants to say anything, please do so at this time before I go into Let Freedom Ring.
Praise God. Well, this is Randy, and I just wanted to say thank you for providing this opportunity for us to think about the mission and the spirit of Dr. King, and to bring us together and to share some of that with the wider audience. Thank you.
Thank you. Meeting each and every one of you. Yes. Okay. Anybody else want to say anything? I want to give a hand clap to all of our guests this evening. Here was our hand clap for the chair. And I have a dream speech, Let Freedom Ring.
Amen. From every mountainside, let freedom ring. And if America is to be a great nation, this must become true. And so let freedom ring. From the prodigious hilltops of New Hampshire, let freedom ring. From the mighty mountains of New York, let freedom ring. From the heightening Alleghenies of Pennsylvania, let freedom ring. From the snow-capped Rockies of Colorado, let freedom ring. From the curvaceous slopes of California. But not only that, let freedom ring from Stone Mountain of Georgia. Let freedom ring from Lookout Mountain of Tennessee. Let freedom ring from every hill and molehill of Mississippi, from every mountainside. Let freedom ring, and when this happens, and when we allow freedom ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last.
All right. So Martin Luther King's Day is actually Monday, January the 16th. So please, you know, I guess you can say celebrate him even, you know, being here with us for as long as he was. It was a short time in history and in a lifetime, but at least he tried to do the best that he could to bring light to the world and to bring justice and peace and, you know, just a real understanding of what peace and freedom was. So thank you, thank you, thank you, Dr. Martin Luther King. Announcement is if we were in church the 15th Sunday, January 15th, third Sunday, Reverend Carolyn Williamson out of Yakima will be speaking, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. And then on Monday and Thursday of next week, we have Miss Inez says, let's talk about it. I don't know what I'm going to be talking about, but I'll be finding something to talk about. And Wednesday night, of course, we have Bible study, and that's with Reverend Ronnie Marshall from the True Worshippers Ministry out of Little Rock, Arkansas. And we also, oops, oh, Lordy. Oh, my goodness, of course. Okay, let's get back in. We have the fourth Sunday, we have Reverend Ronnie Marshall speaking to us on January the 22nd. The 24th and the 26th, again, it's Ms. Inez says, let's talk about it. And we've been talking about some of everything. Tuesday, we talked about I struggle with, so people called in and as far as what they were struggling with. So it was a rather interesting evening. And then some new listeners and some newcomers, so I want to tell them thank you for joining us. And we are heard all over the world. We have worldwide listeners, not just in the contiguous United States, but we have it all over the world. And so people are hearing us everywhere. I can tell you so many of the countries, Japan, China, Russia, Bolivia, Colombia, Africa, Spain, Portugal, Australia. So it's not just, you know, in the United States. We are going worldwide. And so I just want to thank our worldwide listening audience for joining us and listening into us. And again, here we're going to come up with Reverend Ronnie Marshall again. He's got a new release called Jesus Has Made Me Whole, so you can go out there and support him on his new music. And in order to keep Let's Do a Radio on the air, you can donate to Cash App, $ANAISEVALCOUR, or through Venmo at MZ-INEZ, or if you know my telephone number or my email, you can send it to Zelle. And we are open to sponsorships. And so I've been speaking to DJ about getting sponsorships and a contract for sponsors, because we have been approached to have a sponsor. So if anybody out there who has big money dollars would like to sponsor Let's Do It Radio, please contact me at letsdoitradio@gmail.com. And again, in case you missed any of the episodes that we have been having throughout these past few months, you can always go on demand to www.blogtalkradio.com. /Let's Do It Radio, and you can choose your episode. We've had some very interesting and intriguing, thought-provoking evenings. So instead of going just 3 hours, we've been going 4 hours. So yes, we've been going all night for 4 hours sometimes. So I just appreciate those who join me on those evenings and offer words of inspiration and just joining in, chiming in on whatever they'd like to talk about it. And sometimes just having someone out there to talk to, because we talked about suicide, we talk about relationships, as Sergeant Parks talked about. We just talk about struggling. We talk about when suicide doesn't work. We talk about abuse. We talk about some just basically whatever's on your mind or things that I've come up with that may be on somebody's chest. And within the last couple of weeks, a few of my friends, they just are tired of living. It's like, okay, we need to talk about suicide. And the reason why I had talked about that is because the gentleman quit, who, you know, looked as happy as he wanted to be, you know, on the outside, but what was troubling him on the inside. So please, y'all, the national hotline, I think the new number is 988 for on your cell phones. And so that's a quick way to get to the national suicide hotline prevention line. So worldwide listeners have been tuning in to Let's Do a Radio segments about relationships, and they've been chiming in and talking about and going to the chat room as well. So thank you. And you already know, if you have a topic you want to discuss, go ahead and hit me up. But I want to thank Sergeant Park, each and every one of you, his guests, for joining us tonight on this evening. Up together we can make it happen, and together we did make this evening happen, because I can't be here by myself and make it happen. Well, I could, but I'd rather have each and every one of you joining us and imparting your intelligence and what you do to make what you do happen in your community. So thank you. And so maybe other people listening to this will also do something to celebrate Martin Luther King Day. So as I said before, thank you for joining each and every one of us. I have been your hostess, Miss Inez, for the evening, CEO and fashion designer of On Ice Style Cook Design. And you can find me at www.anaisecalcour.com and on Facebook and Instagram under the same. And the thought of the evening is, if you're waiting for something to happen but do nothing in the process, don't call it progress and expect it to work out. You'll find yourself trying to go somewhere and end up nowhere. And that is in a book written by J. Rick Rollins II. It's called Random Thoughts and 30 Thoughts While Thinking Out Loud and Collecting My Thoughts. And you can find him on textbookx.com if you want to purchase his book, his 30, sounds like I'm saying 30 thoughts, but 30 T-H-I-R-T-Y Thoughts While Thinking Out Loud. So thank you. And we're going to end on I Have a Speech by Martin Luther King, the little 6 minutes. And so if anybody wants to stay with me for the next 6 minutes or 46 seconds and listen, you can do so as I play I Have a Dream speech by Martin Luther King. Have a good
and
evening.
Happy King.
Stay safe.
Weekend, everyone.
Yes, please stay safe and be safe. And y'all check on one another. Check on each other and everyone.
I have the pleasure to present to you Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr.
I am happy to join with you today in what will go down in history as the greatest demonstration for freedom in the history of our nation. Five score years ago, a great American in whose symbolic shadow we stand today signed the Emancipation Proclamation. This momentous decree came as a great beacon light of hope to millions of Negro slaves who had been seared in the flames of withering injustice. It came as a joyous daybreak to end the long night of their captivity. But 100 years later, the Negro still is not free. 100 years later, the life of the Negro is still sadly crippled by the manacles of segregation and the chains of discrimination. 100 years later, the Negro lives on a lonely island of poverty. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will they be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day, even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream. My four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day, down in Alabama with its vicious racists, with its governor having his lips dripping with the words of interposition and nullification, one day right there in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream today. Exalted. And every hill and mountain shall be made low, the rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places will be made straight, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. This is our hope. This is the faith that I go back to the South with. With this faith, we will be able to hew out of the mountain of despair a stone of hope. With this faith, we will be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, we will be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, to go to jail together, to stand up for freedom together, knowing that we will be free one day. This will be the day with all of God's children be able to sing with new meaning, "My country, 'tis of thee." Sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride. From every mountainside, let freedom ring. And if America is to be a great nation, this must become true. And so let freedom ring. From the prodigious hilltops of New Hampshire, let freedom ring. From the mighty mountains of New York, let freedom ring. From the heightening Alleghenies of Pennsylvania, let freedom ring. From the snow-capped Rockies of Colorado, let freedom ring. From the curvaceous slopes of California. But not only that, let freedom ring from Stone Mountain of Georgia. Let freedom ring from Lookout Mountain of Tennessee. Let freedom ring from every hill and molehill of Mississippi, from every mountainside. Let freedom ring and when we have when we allow freedom ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at
last. All right now, we are free if only we want to be free. We can free our minds, free our souls, but I'll be really free. That's another thought. Have a good evening until we talk to each other Sunday night with Reverend Kevin Newsom. Will be speaking to us, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, right here on Let's Do It Radio. Have a blessed evening. Stay safe, be safe, and don't forget to check on one another. Love you all. Peace out.
Good night.
Good night.